small firm entrepreneur architects. Get ready to build a better business with the Entree Architect podcast, where business meets architecture. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, the host of Entree Architect podcast. Join me every week for inspiring interviews with passionate people that share proven strategies to help you build a better business.
If you think there is a problem, one, you can't make a move until you have a plan in place. The accountability chart really helps plan, okay, for the business 6 to 12 months out, this is what we need.
We cover it all, from financial management to marketing, sales, productivity, and beyond.
There's two sides of it, right? So there's the one when you don't have any work. So you're like, well, I'm either going to charge enough to be profitable or I'm going to go out of business. Or you have so much work and you have backlog and you don't need any more work. So you charge way more.
I'd also say lagging measures, one of the best, like the best. So for any client, for any professional service company, if you're going to take one thing away from what we're talking about today, is to look at a number called the labor efficiency ratio.
Entree Architect is not just a podcast. It's your secret weapon for success. With over 500 episodes, it's one of the longest running architecture podcasts in the world. You're sure to find the information you need to elevate your business. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now and join the community of small firm entrepreneur architects building better businesses.
Story.
I've been tired since I woke up today.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season, we were inspired by the number 11, which is basically a pair of ones, or exactly a pair of ones. So this season's theme is pairs or duos. We are talking about ladies who were part of a professional pair in some fashion.
As always, we are not experts, and we are just sharing stories about the information that we find as friends, having a fun conversation. If you find an error, send us an email, and we will all continue learning.
So this week, we will be talking about Barbara Stoffaker Solomon, an artist, architect, and graphic designer behind the Super Graphics in Sea Ranch in California. I'm Jessica Rogers, feeling the Comforta font based out of Miami, Florida.
I'm Lizzie Rahr, remembering the middle school hits of Comic Sans and Papyrus in San Francisco. They were hot fonts, let me tell you.
They were, but dang.
You know.
Papyrus.
You know.
I know. I want to forget.
And I'm Nerjeri Rivas, wondering why Outlook went from Calibri to Aptos in Houston, Texas.
I actually like the Aptos font too.
I'm not familiar enough to make an opinion. But
Well, I don't dislike it. I just don't like it. Yeah. I'm starting the Bring Back Calibri campaign. But enough about fonts. Let's talk about Barbara.
Yes, sorry.
Which will be about fonts.
Oh, yeah. Hey! Enough about these fonts.
Okay, so before we begin, I do want to shout out another fellow podcaster, Amber Assay, from the podcast Women Designers You Should Know. I follow her on Instagram when I first heard about the woman that we were going to talk about, but I'll talk about that later. But yeah, it's a good show. I love her Instagram group. They got a lot of cool stuff there.
That's so neat. She recently came up on my Instagram too. I like her content.
Ooh, fun. I'll have to check her out.
Yes. All right. So we begin on December 5th, 1928 in San Francisco, California. Barbara Ethel Levy, was born. Her nickname was Bobby. So that's what we'll call her from now on, Bobby. Bobby's parents were Fred Levy, a lawyer, and her mother was Lillian Hertz Levy.
That's a fun nickname. Bobby.
Yes. I like that. From now on, she's Bobby to me.
Yep. So I was able to find some interviews given by Bobby that provided some insight into her upbringing. So Bobby's parents divorced by the time that she was four. Her mother was, in Bobby's world, a spoiled rich girl. All her mother knew how to do was play the piano. They didn't necessarily encourage Bobby to pursue art. They wanted Bobby to, you know, just marry a lawyer. To quote Bobby, she said that her dad thought art was, quote, unnecessary.
Ooh, that's a rough start to this story. Her parents sound like villains in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
They really do. It's just so extreme. I'm really bummed, though, for Bobby that they had such a poor outlook towards art and just wanted her to, like, marry someone good.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that, so although her mother felt this way, when her parents got divorced, her mother would play the piano for the San Francisco Ballet, which allowed Bobby to take dance classes for free. Eventually, as Bobby got older, she would get paid to dance. Her mother would play for Elisa Cancino, which opened the door for Bobby to learn Spanish dance. Bobby says that when she needed money, she could make money by dancing at Spanish nightclubs.
Okay. First of all, I have thoughts. Like, what a 180 from this no art situation. Her mom's like, oh, well.
Yep.
Anyway, that's, I can't even formulate my thoughts.
Also, like, she was a spoiled brat, but oh, guess what? The pianos are going to put us through.
Yeah, going to make me money so that we can live, like, exactly. And give my daughter opportunities. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
All right. Well, that's really cool. Elisa Cancino was part of the group Dancing Cancinos, which, according to the internet, these people were a Spanish dance crew that made Spanish dancing cool in the United States.
Ooh.
But that's really broad. So that's like saying American dancing.
Yeah.
So what kind of dancing, you know? So I looked into it. Yes, I went down a waterfall. And I couldn't quite find what genre exactly of Spanish music they were doing. So sorry. I actually spent a little time on YouTube. Trying to look up videos. More fun facts. Elisa is also the aunt of Rita Hayworth, one of the top stars during the golden age of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Who was also a dancer.
Oh.
She's the only Cancino I could find dancing on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Rita Hayworth. And it was nice.
Well, that's amazing. Rita Hayworth was great. Love her. I'm so glad that Bobby ended up getting such an artistic upbringing in the end, after all that no art nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, just you wait. Just you wait. Okay, so while in high school, along with dancing, Bobby did take art classes. So with one charcoal drawing that Bobby would show her mother, together they will walk over to the SF Art Institute, and Bobby got a scholarship to attend studying painting and sculpture.
Whoa.
That sounds too easy.
Yeah. Right? It really does.
Was that an option that we didn't know about? Just like walk over to Syracuse with one charcoal drawing?
Right. I will say I do have one good, my favorite charcoal drawing. I have like two that I like. I mean, they were in my portfolio. Still didn't get money.
But you got in.
I guess it wasn't good enough. I got in. Anyway. All right. So when Bobby was just 17, Bobby would meet Frank Stoffacher, a filmmaker, 15 years older than her.
Oh.
And in 1948, when Bobby was 20, they would get married and have a daughter named Chloe.
Oh, wow. 15 years is a big, big age gap. But I guess he appeals to the artist in Bobby.
Yeah. I mean, if they hit it off, more power to them. Like, glad they waited till she was 20 to get married.
Me too.
Yeah, because ew. Anyway, so let's talk about Frank a little bit. Frank was popular. He was known to bring foreign films to the Bay Area. Bobby said that people liked him because he was funny, nice, and good looking. Okay, I see you, Bobby. He was friends with a few notable people, too, like Man Ray, Hans Richter, and Marcel Duchamp. Do any of these names sound familiar?
Marcel Duchamp does, the French painter and sculptor. He's one of those artists we study in architecture school and have to create models after one of his works. He's also known for a sculpture called The Fountain that basically looks like a urinal.
That's right. Yeah. Marcel is the only name I recognize out of those, but it sounds like Frank got the connections.
Yes. All popular artists, Man Ray. Tied to Eileen Gray, I would say, around that era. Salvador Dali comes after, I think. Anyway, so they married. 6 years after getting married, Frank would pass away from a brain tumor.
What?
Oh, no. That's so soon. That's barely out of the newlywed phase. And also, he was like in his early 40s. That's too young.
Yeah. OMG. That is horrible. They were just starting their life. And he had so much life left. Oh my gosh. And she's so young. And now she's a child. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, now she is a mother. And how is she going to find work? Bobby knew that it was going to be difficult to make money as an artist by herself. But she had seen how graphic designers were making a decent living. So Bobby also saw that in Switzerland, education was being subsidized. So Bobby took little Chloe and moved to Basel, Switzerland to study graphic design.
Okay. So casual. Widow, single mom, moves to a foreign country to study. Who does that? This sounds like it would not be easy at all.
Yeah.
But I guess where there's a will, there's a way. If you have the means. This sounds like something someone with some sort of money does.
I know.
Lower middle class people don't have money to move to foreign countries and raise children and get higher education. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess they do, though.
Mm-hmm.
She clearly had enough money to get them to Europe, right? Because I guess the idea is as long as she can get there, then it'll be like reasonable to live because the education is subsidized and all that stuff, right? Okay. But...
Mm-hmm.
Still sounds strategic, I guess, like I was saying, to like not pay for the schooling and whatnot. And I guess you could get a job there, but it just feels like a big leap.
Yeah. Does she talk the language that is spoken in Switzerland? Like, this is a big change.
German?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the same way how her mother just marched right up to SF Art Institute was like, give my daughter a scholarship. She got that from her mama.
I appreciate the bold moves, and it sounds like she took the money she had and she was like making the most of it. So,
and she sure did that, okay? Because when she was in Switzerland, Bobby would study under Armin Hoffmann, a very renowned graphic designer. He is considered to be one of the pioneers for Swiss international design. He was also the author of the graphic design manual.
Ooh, impressive. Yeah, so Armin taught in Switzerland, and he was the head of the graphic design department at the Basel School of Design. He's also very well known for his posters, which emphasized economical use of color and fonts.
Yes. So now I know that Armin didn't invent it, but the font Helvetica was like a big thing that Bobby would learn and master. For a brief moment, I did think Armin created it, but he did it.
Now I'm curious who created Helvetica.
So from what I can tell, it looks like Max Meetinger, who's also Swiss. He might have had a partner, but his name is the one that comes up.
Okay, okay.
So in 1961, Bobby would return to California. There, she met landscape architect Lawrence Halprin and a few other architects like Charles Moore, William Turnbull Jr., Richard Whitaker, and Joseph Eschrick. All of these architects were working on creating a new utopian-like town outside of San Francisco called Sea Ranch.
That's a lot of architects. It sounds like we should be playing bingo. I'm actually interested in visiting Sea Ranch. I'm excited to learn how... Right? ArcVenture, here we come.
Yes.
I'm excited to learn how Bobby got involved in this project. Jessica, let's get there. But the architect / author / historian / all-around awesome person, Kate Regev, wrote an article about this town for Dwell. It's a great and short read with a lot of awesome pictures. I suggest we add it to the show notes. Looking at you, Jessica.
I think they might be already there.
Ooh.
Nice.
All right. I'm super excited to hear that Bobby was involved with Sea Ranch, because living in the Bay Area, Sea Ranch is a really cool spot. People love to go out there. It has a very distinct architectural style. Sadly, I have not been there yet. So you guys have to come so that we can go. But I would love to have a weekend trip out there. Also, Lawrence Halprin is a really well-known landscape architect. I think we've mentioned him when we talked about Cornelia Oberlander, episode 59. He has worked on some really big projects, including the FDR Memorial in D.C.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, okay. So since we're on the topic already, let's talk about Sea Ranch, because it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this place was going to be this new town that would bring harmony between the users and nature. It was this area that was untouched along the California coastline. It would have a church, a school, houses, typical things that a town should have.
Sounds great.
Yes. When you look at the design of this place, it is very much modern. European influences here and there. And the firm, Moore, Linden, Turnbull, and Whitaker, would bring on Bobby to handle the graphics for Sea Ranch. This would be Bobby's first project and her most notable.
Yay! Oh, I'm so excited to learn more.
Yeah! How did she integrate her graphics into the buildings and the town?
Well, Bobby basically created the graphic identity for this town. She created the signage for the town, the logo for this new city, the promotional material to draw in residents to come. But what stood out the most were these super graphics, which were basically these murals and paintings that she just brought all these interior spaces to life.
Oh, I'm loving this.
Oh, yeah. I'm so here for this. This is like my dream job number three. So, like, what exactly does she do?
Okay, so the story behind it was that Bobby was brought in to create just the logo and the brochure. However, the designers had gone over budget and were looking for a cost-effective signage system. So these structures were also made out of wood. So Bobby says in an interview that they wanted to find a way to save money on sealing and coating the plywood, so they brought Bobby to paint it.
Sounds like they save money on labor.
Yeah.
So the design, if you look at it, right, these super graphics, the buildings, they're like painted bold stripes and letters. And her work was called Paint as Architecture. Her mural would create illusions and bend the flat surfaces of walls. So like, in a way, it connected the buildings together, and by having like graphic kind of double or dual as signs as well. Anyway, so Sea Ranch, right? It gained so much fame and popularity that magazines were picking it up left and right. They would call it where graphics and architecture collide. One magazine refers to it today as California Cool, a postmodern aesthetic that combined pop art, abstract expressionism, and the Swiss international style. Where Warhol meets Korb.
Ah, I love this.
What a description, right? That is so cool how she used painting to create architectural details and create an illusion. This is something people have been doing since ancient Roman times, but it never gets old and it never ceases to amaze me. You have to have such a handle on spatial concepts and perspectives and details to pull this off just right. Not just anyone can do it. Now I see how she got into school with just like one painting. She was amazing.
Yeah, that good.
It proves Bobby had a lot of talent and skill.
Agreed. I also like that the graphics were just as noticed as the architecture, right? In the way that the article describes Sea Ranch, it sounds like her work was just as important in making the project come to life and becoming so famous.
Yep. And whoosha. Our very own episode 31 lady, Ada Louise Huxtable, the architecture critic herself, had only good things to say about the project and your girl, Bobby.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
All right. So after the success of Sea Ranch, Bobby would continue to collaborate with other architects. In 1970, she was invited by the Minneapolis Planning and Development Division to be a part of the Urban Renewal Project. So some of the architects that she collaborated with were folks like Robert Venturi and Philip Johnson, just to name a few.
So she probably rubbed elbows with Denise Scott Brown.
I hope so.
And then to bring it back to Lawrence Halprin, in 1978, she would be the graphic designer for the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial Commission. And in 1981, Bobby would get her master's in architecture from UC Berkeley.
Okay, I did not even realize that she worked on that project with Lawrence when I mentioned it. That's so fun. And I love to learn about the ladies who contributed to such big projects like this. I'm just loving learning that she's part of all these things that I knew about, you know?
Yeah. It's so close to home for you.
It is.
It's so great that she's getting these big profile commissions and that she decides to expand her education on architecture to continue to build on what she's already doing graphically. I just love this.
Yes. So between the Sea Ranch and getting her degree, Bobby would marry Daniel Solomon, an architect. Together, they have a daughter named Nellie, who would later become an artist.
Ah, that adds to Bobby's interest in architecture.
Congrats to Bobby and Daniel.
Yes. So in some of my accounts, I had heard that Bobby and Daniel would become collaborators as well, but it's hard to tell what they collaborated on. I'm not sure if this is the same Dan Sullivan, but I believe it's the same Daniel Sullivan from Daniel Sullivan Design Partners that merged with Methune, a well-known architecture firm.
I was just doing a quick research and I found information that points in that direction. Unless there's two Daniel Solomons around the same time in the Bay Area that fit each other's description.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm loving the connections.
Yes. On his website, his timeline lines up with Bobby as to when they could have crossed paths. They both worked with Lawrence Halprin at some point, so there's that. Mm. But in my research on either of them, they don't mention each other.
Interesting.
Right.
Maybe they like to keep their private life private.
Yeah. I guess they wanted the work to be the focus.
Yeah. Either way, what I do know is that whatever partnership they did have, they would get divorced.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a little bit of a whiplash, but okay.
That also maybe explains the lack of mentions.
True.
Maybe after the divorce, they just wanted to move on amicably in opposite directions.
And never speak of each other again.
Yeah, I wanted to see their collaboration, especially because, you know, this is our season of duos and pairs. And at the beginning of my research, I really thought that her collaboration at Sea Ranch and her collaboration with her second husband would fulfill, you know, my theme, like the theme of the season that I did my part. But maybe not with a husband. I mean, I don't have proof of her second husband's together collaboration. Maybe they collaborated and made their daughter. But I will say, in the case of Bobby, she did have several collaborations with several architects and designers. So I still make it.
Pairs on pairs on pairs.
Get it? Get it?
Exactly. So Bobby would collaborate with architects like Vito Conchi, Stanley Saltowitz to design the Promenade Ribbon, a linear sculpture that wraps along the Embarcadero sidewalk. Lizzie, you said you were familiar with it.
Yes. See, so many things that I'm excited she was part of. So the Embarcadero is a street that runs along the bay in San Francisco. It's a really, really nice place to walk through the city or like along the water and in the city. But I never realized that the benches and the sculpture were done by Bobby. That's so cool.
Yes. It's these glass blocks set in pavers that light up, but the lights don't work anymore, but originally it was supposed to. The Art Commission has tried to find alternatives to restore it, but no luck. Bobby still defends the piece, though. She would say that the lights were just one element, but the ribbon is still a sculptural element of the Embarcadero streetscape.
I agree. Even if the blocks don't light up, they're still continuous, and they give this effect of the ribbon that the original design intended to have.
Yeah. At some point, Bobby won a competition to redesign the Tuileries in Paris, but because she was an American woman, they barred her from participating.
What? First off, redesigning the Tuileries would be a big deal. Like, I'm really bummed that they reneged on that offer for her. But also, why would they even award it to her or let her enter if they're not going to let an American woman do the project? Like, what?
Seriously, what is up with people winning competitions and then not being allowed to follow through on the design? Why did they even win?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had the same BS happen on episode 96, Solange Derbe de la Tour. I mean, coincidence, it was also a French competition. I don't know if there's a pattern here.
What's up, France?
I wonder what was more offensive.
Well, and I'm like, was it American or was it American woman?
Women or both?
Exactly. Was the offense Bobby's gender or her nationality?
Yeah.
Right.
Didn't something also happen to Zaha as well? So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, like I mentioned, Bobby collaborated with so many architects, like the ones that we've mentioned so far. She did the silver signage at the Hunter College subway station in Manhattan. She did the Turia Gardens in Valencia, Spain with Ricardo Bofill. And she has projects at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis.
Oh, I like Bofill's projects. And the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis has great works. We should put all these places in our art ventures list, especially now that we know we will be looking at Bobby's work.
I've actually been to the Walker Art Center. Again, no idea she worked on that. Herzog and Demeron did that building, but now I need to go back to pay attention to Bobby's contributions.
Yep. And of course, if that wasn't enough, Bobby published several books, including the thesis from her time at Berkeley called Green Architecture and the Agrarian Garden. Oh, and she also taught at Berkeley, Harvard, Yale.
Okay, we've officially entered super achiever level.
Yeah. And somehow not surprised.
Yeah.
No. You know?
She also had her work displayed in several exhibitions, including the Venice Biennale, the Whitney, the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. And another notable one was in the Los Angeles art space called LAX ART or LAX Art. Well, today you might know it as the Relax Art because when Bobby did her exhibition in 2019, she basically rebranded the place to Relax Art.
Of course she did. That's clever, too. I love that she was recognized for her work and that it was displayed so prominently in so many places.
Yes. All right. So on May 7th, 2024, at her home in San Francisco at the age of 95, Bobby would pass away. And on May 7th is when I heard the news and learned about who this amazing woman was. So going back to the top of our episode when I mentioned about Amber, it was Amber and her Instagram post about Designers You Should Know podcast when she posted it on social media. That's when I found out about who Bobby was. And I was like, I needed to do a story on her.
That is so recent that when we started planning this season,
yeah,
this lady was alive.
She was alive.
Wow. Yeah.
We could have run into this lady at any moment and never have known.
But literally.
What an amazing life and journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially you. I know.
Oh, yeah. You literally could have ran into her.
I'm so glad to have learned about how she pursued her passions, worked her connections, and never stopped moving forward. Raised two daughters. Truly inspired by this lady today. Thank you to Amber for bringing her into our lives.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we got to learn about Bobby today and the amazing work she did throughout her career. I can't believe we lived in the same city for 10 years.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for Amber and sharing that story because like you said, we were working on this season and she was still alive. And then when she passed, it came at an opportune time for me to be able to learn about her and to have her included in this season. So like paired well with just to learn about all the collaborations that she did. So I'm just glad to have learned about her and to have been able to share her story today. All right, so now we have reached the second part of our episode, the caryatid. A caryatid is a stone carving of a woman used as a column or a pillar to support the structure of a Greek-style building. In each episode, we choose a caryatid, a woman who is working today, furthering the profession through their work, and who ties into the historical woman of our episode. So without further ado, drum roll, please. Nellie King Solomon. So Nellie is a trained architect turned artist. So the name might sound familiar because I literally just said it a couple of minutes ago when I mentioned in the first part of our episode that Nellie is Bobby's second daughter. Nellie studied architecture at Cooper Union and has a Bachelor of Fine Arts from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and a Master's from California College of Fine Arts.
Of course we recognize the name. We were paying attention. You mentioned that she was an artist, but now you drop the detail that she studied architecture too? So she kind of followed in her mother's footsteps, but like in reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that they're on the same path, but backwards.
Yeah. Now, I'm making Nellie our caryatid for this week because she too has collaborated with a few designers herself. But her most known collaboration is with her mama, Bobby. Her most recent collaboration is just last year in 2023. In their latest exhibition, Nellie and her mother did Supercilious. It's Barbara Stauffacher Solomon and Nellie King Solomon. And this is an exhibition that's in Marin Mocha in Hamilton, California. Nellie would also do several other exhibitions on her own, like Art, Earth, and Sky. That was also in 2023 at SM Mocha, Scottsdale Museum Contemporary of Art. Beyond works with Nellie King Solomon and Barbara Stauffacher Solomon, and that was in 2021 at the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Art, or SMOCA, S-M-O-C-A.
That is so lovely that they got to work together and that their work...
So often.
Yeah. Lizzie, is Marin Mocha near you?
Yeah. I mean, it's in Novato, I think, which is in North Marin. So, yeah.
You should be able to check that out.
Yeah. Maybe you guys should come and we'll go to Sea Ranch and Marin Mocha and all these things. The Embarcadero.
So I'll be also sure to add a link of an interview that I listened where it's the both of them, Bobby and Nellie, where they talk about basically this 2023 exhibition. And it's interesting because they talk more, or maybe it was from 2021. Either way, you got to check out this interview because they are talking about their influences. And they have several things in common. They both studied architecture, but they never got licensed. That was an interesting fact that I did not share about the both of them. They're also both mamas who aren't afraid to do something different. Nellie is a painter who is known to paint on Mylar. So that's another interesting fact. So in the interview, she talks about how the Mylar that she uses is kind of like referencing her architecture background.
How interesting. Yeah, I want to know more about Nellie. Jessica, in the interview that you listened to, was there anything else that caught your attention that you'd like to share with us now about Nellie?
Not so much about Nellie in the interview, but I've been going through her website and it's so cool. I'll be sure to add a link in our show notes because just looking at her work, seeing that like connection between architecture and art, and her work does remind me of her mother's work, but like in a more modern industrial way. It's so hard to explain this like art and architecture combo thing. So you just got to see it for yourself. And again, check out our show notes for links.
Nice. Okay. I can't wait to check it out and analyze it for myself.
All right, before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you all for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
We hope you enjoyed learning about today's lady and caryatid, along with our banter, and that you are inspired to find out more about them and other amazing professional ladies.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your neighbors, your family, tell them all. Tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website at shebuildspodcast.com/donate, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X, formerly known as Twitter, at shebuildspod. Until then,
see ya!
Bye!
Adios!
Didn't invent it. Hold on, I thought I heard my sister screaming. And cut.
Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach.
By becoming NCARB certified, like I did, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses.
Learn more at ncarb.org.